If you're looking for trouble, belly up to the bar, because you're in the baddest biker bar in the investment world. This is the Danger Zone. Yes, welcome to the Danger Zone on Money Life, where we get the latest take from the experts at New Construct, where they evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. They do it by bringing together discounted cash flow analysis and forensic accounting. They dig in at the footnotes level, work their way up, and if they find that something is misleading, well, if it's misleading but it would work in your favor, that would be attractive. That's not normally what we focus on here. We're on the ugly side. And when things get ugly, they are inherently dangerous. Learn more about how it works by going to newconstructs.com. David Trainer is founder and president at New Constructs. David, welcome back to Money Life.
It is great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Carvana.
Danger, danger.
Carvana. It is ticker symbol CVNA. And yes, skidding into a crash is something that we've been talking about with them for a while. Have the airbags deployed at this point, or that's just, you know, there aren't enough seatbelts to save you on this one?
Chuck, you know, the stock has been on an amazing run. I mean, it dropped as low as $4 a share. Now it's up over 145% in the last year to $315. You know, things just get shadier and shadier with this business. I mean, not only was it a poor business to begin with, which is why we made it a zombie stock, one of the original zombie stocks, but they've turned to this gain on sale accounting, which allows them to immediately book gains from the loans that it originates to support the sales of its cars or to support the cars it brings into its fleet to then resell. And that allows them to boost income in the near term, but does give them significant exposure if those loans turn out to be bad. And what we're seeing is that these guys are like a mini global financial crisis. Remember the mortgage-backed securities crisis and the Big Short movie and how all those loans really, those mortgage-backed securities held a bunch of bad loans? We're seeing the same thing with Carvana and its portfolio of loans and asset-backed securities backed by the loans it's making.
So what we're saying here is they're making loans to just about anybody. They're doing subprime car lending, if you will. And at some point, subprime has higher default rates. And in this case, the way they're accounting for their profits means that when they have defaults, they're going to have some sort of a big write-down, right? Is that the basics of it?
Yeah, it looks like that. I mean, Hindenburg Research did a big article about the sort of shady relationship between Carvana and Ally Financial, with whom they have a big agreement and deal for Ally to purchase a bunch of loans. For example, in 2024, Carvana sold 36% of its loan originations to Ally. Since then, Ally's scaling way back, since the Hindenburg report, scaling way back, and a lot of the terms in this agreement are redacted, so investors can't even see them. So, you know, Chuck, I have to ask you, if you've got a good deal, what motivation do you have to redact terms?
None.
Yeah, and so we're also seeing that the FICO scores are redacted. The ranges that the company, that the people borrowing have to meet are redacted. So, you know, look, we knew the underlying business model was broken. And now we're seeing that they're sort of going to greater and greater shady lengths to keep the business going. All the while, insiders are selling shares like crazy. So look, I can't tell you when the walls are finally going to come in because these guys have sort of perpetuated the game for a long time, the shell game for a long time, but it looks like it's happening soon.
As you pointed out, Carvana was one of the original zombie stocks. And a zombie stock, we should make sure everybody understands the definition, is a stock that basically is running out of money. It's at a spot where without some sort of life-saving measures, it's already dead. It just doesn't know it yet. Yet this company has survived. As you pointed out, it's been tremendous as a short. You wrote it all the way down, but it then had this big rebound. So where have you been in the interim? Because you didn't get positive on it when the market was getting positive on it. The market went a little crazy on it. So how has it performed as a short for you? And in spite of the big gains that it's gotten, is it still a stock that, you know, as a zombie stock, et cetera, this is not, you know, you've actually been well positioned on it, calling it against, working against it?
I mean, we've been right and we've been wrong. You know, we were right early on and then we've been wrong for, you know, most of the last year or so. But we've kept our position in terms of we're not actually doing the trading ourselves, Chuck, but we've kept our negative danger zone zombie stock position. Actually, I don't know if it's still a zombie stock because its cash flow is great because it's securitizing and selling all these loans off. So that's a short-term boost to cash. We still don't believe in the business. Like, look, here are the underwriting standards that are all you have to meet to get a loan. You have to be over 18 years of age, make at least $5,100 in income a year, and have no active bankruptcies. And we've seen auto loan delinquencies across the industry going up. We also know that rates are up in general. So it's a tighter environment, which just means the squeeze on these guys is on. It's kind of, we think it's only a matter of time before this thing probably blows up.
I'm going to ask something based very much on personal experience here as well. This involving my stepdaughters, when one of them was looking for a car loan. Carvana, of course, is selling used cars. It can be very hard to get a loan on a relatively low value used car. That's a little counterintuitive. You think help somebody get a car that they can actually afford would be better, but you can have a great credit score or whatever and find it's a real struggle to get a 4-year loan on a car that's, you know, only worth $8,000 or something along those lines. Are these guys like, what is their average loan size? Are you looking at not only subprime loans, but that they're encouraging people to overborrow? Or are they doing the opposite of that? And that, which means, by the way, that your assets aren't so great if you're loaning on a car that, you know, is only worth $8,000 or $10,000.
You know, I don't know, honestly, how much they're pushing people to borrow more, but given the fact that they are profiting from the financing division as much as they are, again, shell game, right? They're making money in the financing, not in the underlying core business of selling cars. Now that financing helps them sell cars because they can sell the car if they give people a really cheap loan. And clearly you want to sell as much as you can, as much of a car as you can. So it seemed natural that they'd be pushing bigger loans, but I don't have direct data on that. What I do have direct data on is that the quality of the loan portfolio is going down. And when you look across the subprime market for car loans, we see the top two firms with subprime car loans for extensions, which is another way to avoid a delinquency. So instead of saying, hey, you're delinquent, we say, oh, we'll give you more time. So you're not technically delinquent because we gave you more time. The top two firms are Carvana Subprime and Drive Time, which is owned by the father of Carvana CEO. So those are the, I don't know, where there's smoke, we think there's fire.
Obviously, as you point out, this company now has enough cash generating that it's not a zombie stock. It's not in danger of running out of money. What is it that winds up waking folks up on this one? I mean, obviously, you always say your crystal ball, not well repaired, not necessarily on the ball when it comes to forecasting what is going to do it. But what does it take in a situation like this? You talked about Hindenburg Research. You've been banging the drum on this stock for a while. What does it take for Wall Street to figure this one out?
You know, I don't know. I know there's a trick that people do on Wall Street and Silicon Valley where, and this has happened with Carvana where, you know, and this happened when it was down around $4 a share, they issue a bunch of convertible debt and investors are able to get the stock, they buy the debt and they get the opportunity to convert the stock at $4 a share. And it's kind of an automatic boon for them because when it's at $4, it's sort of at risk of bankruptcy. And then all of a sudden gets an infusion of cash. It's no longer at risk of bankruptcy. And the stock skyrockets up and the convertible debt buyers get to convert at $4 and they make a lot of money. And that's a cycle game that they play sort of over and over. Like they let it go back close to bankrupt, give the debt and it pops up. And they make enough on the stock that they can afford to lose all of the debt, right? And they make enough on the conversion of the stock. So look, this is a shell game that could go on for a while, man. I can't tell you exactly when it's gonna unfold or blow up. But when they're not selling off these loans, which again are a massive sort of cashing in, advanced cash in on the business, it's going to fall apart. And we're seeing the insiders selling like crazy and not buying any stock. I mean, I think in 2024, over the last 5 quarters, I should say, insiders have sold 1.3 billion of shares or 2% of the market cap. In the second quarter of 2025 alone, they sold another 382 million. It's just hard to say these days, Chuck. It's hard to say when people want to get rational. But as long as they think they can still keep playing games, they'll probably try.
Well, let's make them rational, David, because we haven't discussed the one thing we always discuss. At over $300 a share, how out of whack is this share price?
$315 a share. The company has to earn a 9.5% profit margin, which is better than 100 basis points better than what they have in the last 12 months, and grow revenue at 30% compounded annually for about 10 years, or seven times the used car market expectation. At that point in time, it'd be generating $188.5 billion in revenue, which is 200% of where Tesla is, 130% of where Honda is, and as big as Ford, about the same as Ford. So the stock price is implying that they're going to be bigger than Tesla, bigger than Honda, and the same size as Ford.
And the no growth value of the stock?
$13 a share. If you want to talk just about like something in between, if they grow at three times the overall used car market at 15% instead of 30%, the stock's worth $95. So anytime anybody wants to get rational about this stock, it's going to be hard to make an argument that it's not worth at least, you know, at most a third of what it is now.
So yeah, a fair way to sum it up is this. It's Carvana, CVNA. It's in the danger zone because it's a really dangerous stock. That's the take from David Trainer. David, great stuff as always. We'll see you again next week.
Great. Thank you, Chuck.
David Trainer is founder and president at New Constructs. Learn about the firm online at newconstructs.com. And we've got much more to go on today's show. Up next, Rob Hayworth, senior investment strategist at U.S. Bank. He's here for the big interview when Money Life returns in a moment.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.